if you are not a member of a local church, to whom do you submit? How can you do what God calls you to do as a Christian in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 if you are not a committed member of some local church?
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think that begs the question, what does God ask us to do in Ephesians 5:21?
Oh, very simply, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay. Submitting to one another. Now, how in the world am I going to do that if I'm not a member of the local congregation, the body of Christ? To whom do you submit if you are not part of the body of Christ? That seems to me to be one of the compelling arguments for commitment to the local body of Christ and to the local church.
So why do you think God is asking us to do this? Why is this so important?
Well, we're in the Beatitudes at the moment, and we've got to blessed are the meek, and meekness is all about submission. We've been looking earlier at submitting to the Lord himself, to his word and to his will. And there really is this calling of God on our lives that we submit also to his people. We're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we're not called to live this life alone, but in community with other believers under the lordship of Christ. And this is one of the wonderful ways, Steve, in which God rubs the rough corners off our lives, that we're brought alongside other believers with whom we often disagree.
Sure.
And we have to resolve conflicts. And it's in that that we actually grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus.
Well, we take a look at how that actually happens today in Matthew chapter 5. So I hope you'll open your Bible, join us there as we continue a message, Blessed Are the Meek. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, what does meekness look like when God puts you in a place that you would not have chosen for yourself? Let me give it to you in a picture. Come with me to a garden. It's late and it's dark. A few men are lying asleep on the ground. You go a little further and there is another man, and his whole body is draped over a large rock. And as you see him, he's sweating profusely. He's in an agony of soul. And he says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. And then he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Frame that picture. That's meekness in its very essence. Christ submitting himself to the will of the Father at incalculable cost. That's meekness. And friends, that is what Jesus is calling us to do. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So I guess that raises the question, have you become used to the hand of God upon your life? Are you like the wild donkey that's still kicking and fighting against the call and the claim of Jesus Christ upon you? All the turmoil that that brings? Like the unbroken horse, you still resist that hand? Here's what meekness is. It submits to God's word. And it submits to God's will. Now, there's one more thing here, and it's very important indeed. And it's this, that there is also a human dimension, a relational dimension between people to this whole matter of meekness. It begins with submitting to God's word and to his will, but it includes submitting also to God's people. And here I'm thinking particularly of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. If you thought the first part was hard, I promise you that this is even harder. But Jesus says that this is where blessing lies. This is where it is to be found. And it is through this that you will enter into further blessing down the line in your life. And so this is not something that we can bypass. It's of huge importance. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul is describing in Ephesians 5 what it looks like when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he identifies a number of evidences. One is that they sing to each other, the singing of psalms and of hymns and of spiritual songs. One is when God's people are full of the Spirit, they are always thankful. They're always thanking God for everything in every way, Paul says. And then he says there's something else that is an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's this, Ephesians 5:21, God's people submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. And when you see that happening, it is an evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the lives of people, because it is not natural, but it is also a wonderful place where blessing is found. Now, by the way, if you are not a member of a local church, to whom do you submit? It's a serious question. How can you do what God calls you to do as a Christian in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 if you are not a committed member of some local church? See, meekness grows through the discipline of committed relationships. There's no other way for this to happen. And this is God's gift to us through the body of Christ. What happens is that self-directed Christians, autonomous Christians, individualist Christians, miss out on the blessing of meekness that Christ wants to bring into your life, because it's simply not possible to develop it apart from the context of committed relationships. And so if the pattern is for you simply to walk away every time someone upsets you, how can you possibly grow in meekness? Meekness only happens when there is something upsetting and you're able to respond in a way that reflects the Spirit of Christ. Now, there's an important distinction, of course, to be made here between submitting to God's word and God's will and submitting to God's people. Submitting to God's word and God's will is unconditional. There are no limits. There are no boundaries upon it. Submitting to God's people, that is different. The apostle said on one occasion, you remember, we must obey God rather than men, though they said that when they were forbidden to preach the gospel. The normal pattern for healthy Christian relationships is that we submit to each other in the body of Christ. And Christ calls us to this, and meekness is formed out of the difficulty of doing this.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, the message called Blessed Are the Meek. And we're going to pause the message right here, but we'll get back to it in just one moment. Well, Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported broadcast. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. But as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you not one, but two books by Pastor Colin. The first is called Heaven, How I Got Here. It's the story of the thief on the cross, and it's a great book for someone who is considering Christianity and just wondering what Jesus can do for them. The second book is called Heaven So Near So Far. It's the story of Judas Iscariot, and it's a great book, a plea, really, for someone not to walk away from faith in Jesus. And we'd love to send you both of these books as you give a gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org, or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253.
Now, let me give to you some practical snapshots of what this meekness actually looks like. And I want to tie these to one or two actual incidences that you can read about and follow through in the Bible, because here you're seeing just how difficult it can be among the Lord's own people, among people of faith. Think about meekness when you are opposed. And I'm thinking particularly about the meekness of Moses. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 that Moses was very meek. It's an astonishing word and statement that is used in relation to Moses. You say, now why does the Bible say that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, as it says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3? Well, just think about what he had to endure. I mean, God calls this guy out of retirement to lead the people of Israel who had been slaves for 400 years. I mean, what must it have been for Moses to lead the people of God? What must the pressures have been on him in doing that work? I can hardly begin to imagine it. But by God's grace, he leads them out of Egypt. He leads them across the Red Sea. They see miracles happening. He brings them to Sinai when God makes a covenant with them. Now, friends, you would think that God's people would be grateful to Moses. But if you know the Old Testament story, you will know very well that that is not what happens. Instead, we read this, that the people grumbled against Moses and they said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children?" I mean, can you imagine believing people actually thinking that about Moses? But they did. And I don't know about you, but I can well imagine what my flesh would be saying in that kind of situation. I'd be thinking like this. I'd be saying, now wait a minute, you have never seen such blessing as you are seeing right now. And if you can't see that, I'm out of here. Well, my flesh would think like that under these circumstances. All I hear is you moaning and complaining about what you do not like. You are slaves. You're surrounded by the blessing of God. But Moses was not like that. He was meek. And so here's what he did. He prayed for people who said the most astonishingly scurrilous things about him. And then, try and take this in. He went up a mountain and he said, "Oh God, if it was possible, I would be happy for you to blot me out of your book in order that they should not be blotted out from your book." That's meekness. That's why the Old Testament says, "Wasn't anyone else on the face of the earth in Old Testament times who was quite as meek as that?" Under that kind of provocation and ingratitude? Do you see now why, far from meekness being a sort of brand of weakness, this is something that is such a high calling that it is impossible for us apart from the Spirit of Christ that indwelt Moses? Think about times when you are not so much opposed as provoked. And I want you to think for just a moment with me about the meekness of David. You can read about this in 2 Samuel in chapter 16. We read a story there of a man by the name of Shimei. What a wretched man that man must have been. But he was a pain in the neck, is the only way that I can say it, to King David. Maybe when you hear this story, you'll think, oh, I can think about someone who's a pain in the neck in my life as well. Shimei belonged to the house of Saul, who was the first king of Israel. He was Saul's man. And what that meant was that even long after Saul was dead and gone, and long after David had been anointed as the king of Israel, this man Shimei had not one good thing to say about God's anointed David. And we're told this in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5, that this man, Shimei, he just cursed continually. And he threw stones at David. I mean, can you imagine this? Throwing stones at the king of Israel. And as he was cursing, he said to David, shouting from a distance, of course, he said, get out, you worthless man. This is what Shimei used to shout, and David had to put up with it. Well, remember, David was Israel's greatest king. And yet, here is this man who cannot say a good word about him. And the Bible tells us about Abishai, who was a good man and one of David's loyal men. And he did not think that King David should have to put up with stuff like this. And so he said to David, and I love this phrase in the Bible, he says, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Why should this fella be allowed to get away with wretched behavior like this?" And Abishai said to David, "Let me go and cut off his head." And I wonder what your flesh would have said. You're the king of Israel? Well, good idea, Abishai. Let's be done with him. But not David. A man of meekness. "Leave him alone," said David, "and let him curse." Which is what Shimei proceeded to do. And I want you to get this picture in your mind. I'm just reading from 2 Samuel 16, verses 13 and 14. David and his men went on the road while Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went. Can you imagine walking with your loyal people? You're the king of Israel, and here's this man on the hillside. He's shouting down all these curses. And then it says this. "He ran along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and flung dust." Can you imagine that? Shimei, flinging dust. And at the end of the journey, we read this, that the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary at the Jordan. Oh, what a wretched journey we had. This guy throwing dust at us every step of the way. And he's one of God's people. Shimei showed extreme, unjustifiable provocation towards the king of Israel. And David puts up with him. Amazing. Thomas Watson makes this penetrating comment. He says, "How easily God could crush sinners and kick them into hell. But he moderates his anger." And here David points us to the grace that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a third little snapshot, just very quickly. When you're disappointed, this will be an experience that comes to you. And here's the meekness of Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Sometimes we're disappointed because our expectations were unreasonably high for other people. But surely after all the ministry that Paul had poured into the lives of so many people, it would have been reasonable for him to expect that when he came to be tried in a court of law, there would at least be one person who would come to his defense. And he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 that that did not happen. Nobody came. "At my first defense, nobody came to stand with me." So where do you go from there? I'm so disappointed. And you can see how the beginnings of bitterness and all kinds of stuff could be lodged in the soul. But here's what Paul says. He says, "May it not be held against them." May it not be held against them. He prays for God's blessing on people who really had let him down. And that takes me to the last, and it's simply this: when you're injured, and of course, the meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was reviled, insulted, cursed, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. You think of these folks nailing him to the cross. You think of these folks spewing out all their bile, standing, mocking him while he's there in agony. And how, with perfect justice, our Lord Jesus Christ could have said from the cross, "You wait. You wait." But he moderates his justice with mercy. And instead he says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." That is meekness. And you say, how did he do that? Well, here's how he did it. Peter tells us he bore our sins in his body on the tree. He absorbed it into himself. And he did it so that we would die to sins and live to righteousness, because by his wounds we have been healed. And so here we have just a shining light into what meekness involves as it relates to other people. It's going to involve the bearing of wounds. It's going to involve the forgiving of injuries. It's going to involve returning good for evil. Matthew Henry says, after laying out what meekness involves, he says, if this is Christianity, God help us. If this is Christianity, God help us. Because he says, we are called Christians, we name the name of the meek and the lowly Jesus, but how few are actuated by this spirit or conformed to Christ's example. Friends, we live in the land of lawsuits, where there has been such a loss of civility in public discourse and in conversation. We live in the world of attack ads, attack websites. And what happens in the world creeps into the church. And we desperately, desperately need to rediscover the meekness to which Jesus Christ calls us here. It is much easier to be like Shimei than it is to be like David. But David has the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Is that you? That's what meekness is. Next week we're going to come back and look at how we pursue it. And you'll know that it's going to be around this that we read in Matthew 11. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, tie yourself to me, learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and lowly in heart, and then you'll find rest from your souls. Bind yourself to me, Christ says. Walk with me. And here's what will happen. You will find rest for your soul.
Oh, what a great way to wrap up this message. You want rest for your soul? Learn to walk with Jesus. Learn meekness from him, and then you will find that rest. You know, I think it's been so helpful to see that weakness and meekness are not the same thing. We see meekness in bearing wounds, in forgiving injuries, in returning good for evil. We see meekness in Jesus, and as we walk with him, we're going to grow in this. In our next broadcast, we're going to look at how we actually cultivate meekness, so I hope you'll make it a point to join us. You know, as you give a gift of any amount in support Unlocking the Bible this month, we want to send you two books from Pastor Colin, Heaven, How I Got Here, it's the story of the thief on the cross, and Heaven, So Near, So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot. And Colin, I have to say, one of the things I really love about these two books is the fact that they're written in the first person.
Yeah, and to me, that was the great joy in writing them, to look at the stories of these two men and to say, now, what was it actually like for them? I mean, you take what we're told about Judas, for example. I mean, as one of the 12, he would have served the bread and the fish when the great crowd were fed by Jesus in that marvelous miracle. Judas was there when Mary took that flask of ointment and poured it over Jesus in its entirety. And he objects, and he says, now that, you know, this could have been sold. He always had his eye on the money and so forth. I found it so helpful to try and get inside the shoes, as it were, of these two remarkable characters, one who was obviously on the way to hell, the thief on the cross, and ended up in heaven. And the other, who it appeared was on the way to heaven, one of the disciples of Jesus, and actually ended up far from heaven in hell itself. And so here are two remarkable stories, and I've tried to get on the inside of them, and they really speak to us about the central importance of trusting Jesus, and then when we trust Jesus, of staying with Jesus.
Well, we would love to send you these two books. It's our way of saying thank you for giving a gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, our website is unlockingthebible.org and the phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. How do you get more meekness in your life? You can't simply say, well, I want to be more meek, so just tell me how. Find out why on the next Unlocking the Bible.